Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Good afternoon. Glad that you are with us as it is regional time in the Berg. Of course, you'd have to be living in a cave not to know that. Kelly Sander flying the plane solo here in our studios in Hattiesburg immediately. And we're going to tell you about the great businesses and sponsors that are making this broadcast possible. But right now, let's go out to Bob Getty, who is at the Pete with a live report. He'll be checking in not only this segment, but toward the end of the show as well. Bob, initially in this game, as you come to us at least a couple of minutes ago, it was 1-1. And from the start that the Eagles got with Camden Clark on the mound, it could have been worse going back to that first inning. Bring us up to date.
Well, there's no question they played a little lethargic here early in the game. Kyle Morrison ties the game up in the bottom of the third with a one-run home run. Crowd very delighted to see that. But Clark seemed to have settled down. He's given up four hits, but they got the run, Kelly, with it was two outs, a ball hit to left field, not fielded cleanly. The next batter's walked, and then a single is how they scored that run. And then again, the Eagles bounced back in the bottom of the third to tie it up with the one-run home run. I tell you a couple of great things about being here today. We got to understand that they opened the gates 2 hours early for people to get in the 16-ounce lounge. And I'm going to tell you, from first base out to the brief, it's an absolute sea of gold, probably 15 to 20 deep. As the Eagles get ready to bat here in the bottom of the fourth. So it's everything we would have expected, a lot of color, a lot of atmosphere, a ton of fans, and a lot of excitement in the air, Kelly. No, nothing quite like opening day and the opening game of a regional NCAA baseball tournament.
Well, Bob, one of the things that the university had to do was to change the starting time because of the potential weather that could be brewing this afternoon. They moved the game to a 12 noon start. From the looks of the crowd and so on, it appears everybody got the message?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. There was a huge crowd here 2 hours before the game started. And, when the Golden Eagles are playing regional baseball, the fans are going to find the time. Looks like they're going to get the game through easily, too. It doesn't look like there's any weather at all that could affect this game. And then, of course, we'll kind of hold our breath for that Virginia-Jacksonville State game tonight, which, Kelly, I think you'll agree, is going to be another great game here at Pete Taylor Park.
Camden Clark, a lot of people thought that Graydon Harris would get the start, but Camden and Clark did. He has some strikeouts in the game, Bob, but the Trojans are hitting him a little bit as well, yeah?
Four hits. They're pretty scrappy. They remind me a lot of Troy. You know, they don't seem to have a lot of power hitters, but boy, they sure have some line drive hitters. But I think he's kind of settled down here the last inning and a half. And if he gets into a rhythm and gets his confidence up, he's almost unhittable. But right now, he looks solid, and the Golden Eagles have made no moves whatsoever at the bullpen.
When you get good pitching like has been seen so far from both of the teams in this game, a lot can happen in about the next 50 minutes or so, and you will be checking back with us toward the end of the show. Bob, thanks very much indeed for the update there. Uh-huh. Live from Pete Taylor Park, game one of the regional series taking place out at Pete Taylor Park. And Bob, again, will be checking in with us a little bit later on. The sponsors who make this possible, the special regional coverage going back to Wednesday this week, includes Bokehoma Casino, First Bank, the Corner Market Food Stores, Royal Homes on Highway 84 West in Laurel, and Warren & Warren Asphalt Contractors. They were gracious enough to let us use their sweet for our two-hour broadcasts on Wednesday and Thursday, but now all the prep work has been done. It's all up to the guys now to be bringing this home. We are saluting other champions on this program today. We're going to be talking with Pearl River softball coach Christy Meeks. For the first time in school history, Pearl River has notched an NJCAA Division II World Series championship. That series is over. Their season is over, and Pearl River brought home the gold. We're going to be talking with Christy Meeks in our next segment. And speaking of Pearl River, Michael Avalon and his baseball team and at Pearl River, they are in Enid, Oklahoma, and could potentially be winning another baseball national championship. They will be playing Tennessee Wesleyan. Tennessee Wesleyan tomorrow night, or is that tonight? We'll have to check that for sure, but that would be... No, actually, Tennessee Wesleyan has to play Pasco Hernando. The loser of that South Mountain, Arizona, Pasco Hernando game is eliminated. South Mountain is out of South Phoenix, Arizona. Pasco Hernando is out of Newport Richey, Florida. Pasco Hernando is actually the team that beat Pearl River last year for the national championship. But both South Mountain and Pasco have one loss in this tournament. If they lose tonight, either one of those two teams, they'll be eliminated, and then it will be a one-game winner-take-all between the winner of that game tonight between South Mountain and Pasco Hernando and Pearl River. So it could be a rematch of last year's championship game. Might not be. The one thing we know for certain at this point is that Pearl River is in the World Series championship out in Enid, Oklahoma. They will play a one-game winner-take-all tomorrow night in Enid against either Pasco Hernando, which again would be a rematch, or South Mountain, Arizona. Two other teams from the area that were in that JUCO World Series in Enid include Jones and East Central. The Jones Bobcats went 1-2 in World Series play. The East Central Warriors out of Decatur, they went 2-2 before being eliminated. So they're down to just three teams there. We'll be talking with Michael Avalon a little bit later on in this program about a prospectus for another World Series championship. And to our knowledge, as long as they've been keeping records, not one junior college at any level that we know of has won both the softball and baseball World Series championships in the same year. But that could be the case with Pearl River this year. Now, you think that that's, in the words of the president, winning. We're going to win so much people don't even know. They can't keep track of all the winning. Well, that's what's going on here, because you can also count William Carey still alive in the NAIA World Series out in Lewiston, Idaho. And where the Crusaders stand right now is they play an elimination game tonight against Tennessee Wesleyan. That will be an 8:30 p.m. our time first pitch. And you're going, why so late? Well, remember, that's only 6:30 out in Idaho. So the first pitch, 8:30 our time tonight, and that'll be William Carey against Tennessee Wesleyan. The winner is eliminated. Check that. The loser is eliminated. The winner will go on to play for the World Series championship tonight against Taylor, Indiana, which was the number one seed going into this tournament. The reason that Taylor, Indiana got the bye, because all three teams have one loss. Pearl River lost last night. So Pearl River, Tennessee Wesleyan, and Taylor of Indiana all have one loss. So when it came to who gets the bye to go into the final, Taylor, Indiana got it because they were the number one seed going into the World Series. And it's kind of interesting that the only loss that they took in this World Series was at the hands of William Carey. In fact, Taylor, Indiana only has six losses all year. And it was William Carey that gave him one of those losses. So again, William Carey against Tennessee Wesleyan tonight at 8:30. The winner of that game will play Taylor, Indiana tomorrow night out in Idaho for the NAIA Baseball Championship. So not only do we have the regional going on at Southern Miss, and Bob will be joining us at the end of the show to bring us an update. Again, 1-1 at last report. Kyle Morrison providing the only offensive spark for Southern Miss with that solo homer. And getting good pitching performances. And as we mentioned, when you get good pitching performances, games can be played in a pretty rapid period of time. Now, according to the weather forecast, 4 o'clock is going to kind of be the bewitching hour, so to speak, as far as thunderstorms coming in here. If you've lived in Mississippi, you know that that's not new. These pop-up thunderstorms, when we get into this time of year, happen frequently, which is why the officials at Southern Miss decided to bump that game back to a 12 noon start instead of a originally scheduled 1 o'clock start. Looks to be a brilliant move. I was a little concerned that fans weren't going to be able to get that word in time, but through email systems, social media platforms that Southern Miss is on, and as Bob Getty reported live from Pete Taylor Park, it doesn't appear that anybody has really missed the idea that that game was going to start at 12 noon instead of 1 o'clock. The scheduled game tonight, of course, between Jacksonville State and Virginia, slated for 7, but again, a lot of that's going to depend. Now, if this weather holds like it is now, all systems go, no problems at all. But, of course, with that turf field, and we've talked about that on this show too, the benefit of making the investment in that turf field so that it's can easily handle, you know, rain amounts that shouldn't put those two teams behind schedule too much. When we come back on the other side of the break, Christy Meeks, the World Series champion coach of the Pearl River Lady Wildcats, first ever World Series championship for that team. This special edition of the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Kelly Sander from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon are at the baseball regional again at last report. Southern Miss in the fourth inning, and the Arkansas Little Rock Trojans tied at one apiece. Bob will be reporting back to us here a little bit later on in the program. We want to give a shout-out to our other sponsors making this broadcast possible, including Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Hey, if you're going to the regionals this weekend and want to have a little get-together before or after, then don't forget to reach out to Dickie's. They can handle your situations, whether they're big or small. And Dickie's is always there to serve Southern Miss and you as well. And, of course, our friends at Fuzzy's Taco Shops right down there in Midtown. If there does happen to be a rainout or a delay of some kind, don't forget Fuzzy's. That's the place you want to hang out until games resume. Joining us now on our hotline is Coach Christy Meeks of the Pearl River Wildcat softball team. Coach Meeks, we congratulate you on a World Series championship. And do we know, we've got our good research staff, but we can't come up with any information about any schools having both a softball and a baseball national championship in the same year, yet that could happen. We went through the baseball scenario, but congratulations to your ladies. You had to beat some great teams, including some teams that you knew a lot about going into the World Series. Now that things have begun to settle down a little bit, tell us how you're feeling and what's going on.
I mean, what an unbelievable feeling, and what a great year this year. I'm so proud of these girls and everything that they accomplished. I mean, it was nothing shy of greatness for sure.
Now, you played teams like Jones, who also went to the World Series, yes?
Yes, we did.
Jones and Colin has been a great team, and you faced both of those during the regular season, but emerged among the best in the country. What was the difference, Coach Meeks, at the World Series? Maybe that, or some things that you guys maybe didn't do quite as well as you needed to during the regular year.
You know, I think the biggest difference is when you get to the end of your season, and we saw this in the regional tournament. When you get to the end of your season, that's when you hope to peak. And I genuinely believe that that's what this team did. It started in the regional tournament when we went undefeated in the regional tournament, and then, you know, it turned around in the national tournament. And on a stage like that, you know, the first game, they felt like that team being number 12 and we were number 5, that we were supposed to win, you know? I mean, that this team was kind of naive in that. And so it's kind of like, okay, game one under our belt, you know, great job, but what does game two look like? And when we had our backs up against the wall in game two, and they pulled out of it and won, at that moment, I just saw something different in every one of their eyes, you know, that the leadership that emerged, the difference, and they're like, okay, we're doing this, and we're about to do it really well.
It's one thing, though, to say you're going to do it, but it's another thing to actually go and do it. And for a team that hasn't been to a World Series before, were you worried about them having, you know, the big eyes and kind of maybe overwhelmed just a little at the national stage?
You know, before the first game, those are always thoughts as a coach, like, are they prepared? Are we ready? Like, what are we doing, you know, to continue to keep us prepared? And but once we were there, like I said, then the leadership emerged. You know, our leaders didn't allow any game to be too big or too small. And it was let's get it done. There was no, well, what if we lose? Like, there was no thought process of that. They were like, let's go, let's win. You know, there wasn't an option. We're going to throw it all in, and whatever the results are, but we know who we are. And I think that's the coolest part about the leadership that we had this year on this team. They were mature. They were calm. They were composed in everything they did.
Christy Meeks is with us. She's the head softball coach at Pearl River. Pearl River notching its first national championship on the softball field. And Coach Meeks, you're kind of in a unique situation at Pearl River where the president of your institution is a sports guy. He makes it very clear that he wants the sports teams to succeed at a very high level. And that's what you were brought in to do, and you did it. And again, it's one thing to have that goal, but another thing to do it. So when does Adam Brearwood come through with a big raise for you?
Well, I'll tell you this. The leadership starts at the top. And how amazing is it to have an administration that has your back the way that this administration does? I mean, Dr. Brearwood, Dr. Long, Coach Avalon, all of them, Patrick, I mean, all of them that have our backs down here. And it's a huge testament. I was just talking to somebody the other day. We have cheer who won a national championship. We've got soccer who's competing for it. We have MAC champions with basketball. We were able to win a national championship. Man, we are rooting so hard for baseball right now to be so we can go to spring sports, you know, and have them win a national championship again. Like, it's just a testament to this administration and what they have done for us and what they continuously do. I'll tell you this, you know, it is nothing shy of greatness from them, and it just makes us want to be great. We want to be great for them.
And you're in a unique situation, too, in the sense that your assistant coach, Tyler Dobson, who is a native of Petal, comes from a baseball background. So what sort of things did he have to learn to be able to convey, you know, on the field concepts crossing from baseball to softball, or was it that big a difference?
It really wasn't that big of a difference. You know, Tyler does a phenomenal job with our outfield, and he works really hard with weight training for us. And then on top of that, like, he helps call pitches and he helps with the approach at the plate and the stats of the game. He sees the game in a totally different light from being from baseball, very statistical, and kind of keeps my head on straight with stuff like that. You know, I see things more of from a female perspective of, okay, this is the feel of the game, this is what we should be doing in these situations, and he kind of helps with the statistical part of it. And and the trueness of what the game does, you know. And I think that's a really cool aspect to have and a good perspective to have on your staff no matter what.
And a shout-out to Tyler Dobson, because I had the opportunity to coach him as a 11- and 12-year-old, and I don't know that anybody has ever thrown a changeup like that guy did. I mean, he had a great one. So I'm glad to see that he is now giving back through his career, you know, of coaching. So
Yes. So
do you have some time off now, Christy Meeks, or do you hit the recruiting trail, or what's next for Pearl River women's softball?
Yes, sir. So, you know, someone sent me a text message. I genuinely don't even remember who at this moment, because we had gotten so many, and it says national champion today, defending national champion tomorrow. And out of all of the text messages that I read and the congratulations, that one hit me really hard, because I remember a speech Nick Saban gave one time, and it was like, we're going to celebrate this tonight, and tomorrow I'll be in the office at 7 a.m. And you know, you don't understand that until you get the opportunity to get it. And they're right. So, yes, we're on the recruiting trail. We're hoping to continue to work and to celebrate as we're working, to enjoy these moments as we are pushing for, you know, the next classes that come in. And just utilizing that as a blessing to be able to work now at a place that not only has a phenomenal administration, but a winning program, a national contender, and we want that to be every year.
Very quickly, Coach Meeks, as we begin to wrap this up and put a bow on it, was there one aspect of, because you've always had good teams at PRC, but was there any particular aspect of this team that was deeper and better than maybe some of, not calling out individuals, but just groups of people, you know, the pitchers, the defense, the hitters, whatever, that particularly put you over the top, you felt this year?
You know, for sure, our pitching, having a staff, we had three pitchers on our staff that had over 100 strikeouts, you know, and that's not normal. Usually in a JUCO setting, you have one pitcher that kind of carries a load, and for us to have three of them, that separated us a little bit. I also believe that the leadership on this team was what separated them. You know, you could see a difference in their eyes. They were mature. They held other teammates accountable. You know, if you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing in the weight room, I didn't have to tell them. It was our leaders that said, hey, get it together. Like, we're working for something bigger, you know? And it wasn't it wasn't about anything but just passion. Like, hey, we're all working. Come on, let's go. And I thought that was something that really separated this team from any other teams that I've had.
Well, you're not going to get to enjoy it much because, like you said, now you've been the hunters. But now you are the hunted, right? And it is it's like you said, the pitching staff have it that deep. You said that's unusual. But it's pretty unusual for any team to win a national championship, even though that is the goal. We congratulate you for that. We salute you, and nothing but the best. Thank you, Christy Meeks, for joining us on the Eagle Hour.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, Christy Meeks with Pearl River. And, of course, Pearl River still making news. She said that the softball team is cheering hard for the men's baseball team because they are still alive at the JUCO World Series. Still to come, we're going to be talking with Michael Avalon from Pearl River. Also, BH, as he's known, Bobby Halford at William Carey. The Crusaders are still alive for a national championship. We just keep winning in baseball in this area. Bob Getty will have a report from the Pete, the latest from the regional, as the Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
Well, I drew the short straw. So I'm in the studio today. Kelly Sander here in our Southern Bancorp studio. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon are out at the Pete. We'll be getting an update from Bob on the contest. There is good news tonight, as President Franklin Roosevelt used to say in his fireside chats. The Eagles are up 3-1. Bob will tell us how they got to that lead and how things are looking a little bit later on here in our program in about 20 minutes or so. Right now, let's go out to the great state of Idaho, where Coach Bobby Hallford is in Lewiston. His William Carey Crusaders are getting ready to play Tennessee Wesleyan tonight. It'll be 8:30 our time, 6:30 out in Lewiston. Pearl River, Tennessee Wesleyan, and Taylor, Indiana all have one loss, but Taylor, Indiana got the by to the championship game because they were the number one seed going into the tournament. By the way, the only loss they have in that tournament was put on them by the Crusaders. And 41st year head coach Bobby Hallford joins us now from Idaho. BH, a lot of people said you guys didn't have the pitching, but it's been holding up, baby. Hang in there a couple more games.
Yeah. You know, a few weeks ago we decided that, you know, we're going to mix and match and that type thing and started using some of our relievers to start games and started using guys as openers and this type thing, and so it's worked for us. Of course, we've been swinging the bats really well, and anytime you can do that, you got a chance to win, and so that's been our, you know, MO so far, and you know, hopefully tonight we can continue with that.
I think what's cool about this story, there's a lot of things that are cool about the story of this year's Crusader team, but one, first and foremost, is probably that nobody expected this at the beginning of the year. They expected an above-average team, you know, pretty good team. Carey always puts good teams on the field, but I don't think that a lot of outsiders looking in thought that that this was a team that could not only go to the World Series but potentially win it.
Well, you know, in baseball, how it works. I mean, it's just teamwork, and it's just a chemistry sometimes that works, and guys know their roles and that type thing. And a few years ago when we were out here, a team, you know, won it, Westmont, California, that on paper, you know, you go, no, but those guys play the game the way it's supposed to be played. They never struck out. They move runners. They play great defense, and they threw strikes. And so anytime you have that ability to do that, you have a chance to have a good club.
Well, this Tennessee Wesleyan bunch, very athletic. There's a lot of different things that ways that they scare other people. What are the primary concerns with Tennessee Wesleyan as you face them tonight in a loser's bracket contest?
Well, like you said, they're real athletic, and they run really well. And Billy Berry's probably one of the best coaches in the country. He was at the ABCA clinic a few years ago, and he was probably one of the best speakers up there. But they have won two national championships. And, you know, the thing that I'm most proud of is most of our guys are homegrown. And a lot of these teams we're playing, there's not many kids from those places. You know, now to Taylor, I would say they're mostly Indiana kids. And right. One of the big reasons there's not any junior colleges. And so, you know, it's a tough go for us right now and with NIL and with all the junior colleges in the state of Mississippi. So I'm just proud that we have a lot of the local kids, or I say 150-mile, 200-mile radius Louisiana kids mixed in with some of the locals. And so that's kind of been something that's been, you know, we've been proud of.
Well, you whooped them once, and you might have to whoop them again, but we know that you can. And we're all pulling for you back here at home, Coach Hallford, and three cheers for those Crusaders, and let's go get this one tonight at 6:30 against Tennessee Wesleyan. How can people view this game now tonight?
It's the Avista World Series 2026. It's Urban Edge Network, and you can go on that site and scroll down to the game, and you can basically, you know, hit the video. And two really good announcers. These guys have been minor league guys, or also in Seattle doing some stuff up there, and so you know, really do a good job with it, and then you know, it's just a good broadcast.
Well, it's been since 1969 that William Carey won a World Series. Who knows? It could very well happen this year. Bobby Hallford, thanks for everything you do, and especially for joining us on the Eagle Hour today. Good luck, man.
I really appreciate it, Kelly. Thank you.
All right, Bobby Hallford with William Carey University. Joining us here in just a moment will be Michael Avalon from Pearl River. His team is still alive in the Enid, Oklahoma NJCAA Division II World Series. A couple of reminders and some shout-outs to some people that we're very happy to be associated with. Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West for premium Goodyear products, but other tires besides Goodyear. Also, full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98. Fully operative and family operated since 1985. Also, Forest Healthcare, MCS Home Center, and Genesis of Hattiesburg. Thank you for your support. Now joining us on as we go out to Enid, Oklahoma, is Michael Avalon, the head baseball coach at Pearl River Community College. Avi, good to have you with us. And it might be Pasco Hernando and you guys again in a winner-take-all, although you're going to sit back and be watching that game tonight with particular interest as Pasco Hernandez takes on South Mountain out of Phoenix. Thanks for joining us on the show. You ready to win another one?
We are. We're thankful we get a day off and a day to recover and make sure we're ready to go. Doesn't to us it doesn't matter who we play. We're just thankful to be back in it this year, and hopefully we can finish it off this year.
You know, not just Pearl River fans, but a lot of junior college fans don't like this bracket situation that you guys are in, because you guys are the only undefeated team in the field. And we mentioned that Pasco Hernandez and South Mountain, they each have a loss. One of them obviously will be eliminated tonight. But whoever's left, it'll be a winner-take-all where you guys don't have any losses. They'll have one loss. What gives?
It's a very weird bracket, which will change after next year. We go to a much more closer format that the NCAA uses, where we'll actually have eight regionals or sub-regionals across the country that you'll have to qualify. You'll have to win that regional to get into the World Series, and it will only be eight teams. So that'll clean things up a bunch as far as the bracket goes moving forward, after next year in the 28th season. But for this year, it is what it is, and that's what I told the guys. I said, we can sit here and make up an excuse already. We're not worried about excuses. We're just thankful to have the opportunity, and it comes down to one game and a winner take all, and that's where you want to be. And fortunately, we put ourselves in that situation, and so now we just got to go out and hopefully play as well as we played here recently.
Now, you know, the guys cannot come back to campus and be outdone by the women, because they will never hear the end of it. They know that, don't they?
that's correct. That's something that's been unbelievable, is watching our softball team win the national championship. And Coach Christy Meeks and I have both said for a couple years now that we want to be the king and queen of diamonds in softball and baseball. And so they've done their part, and now it's up to us to hopefully finish this thing off. And whether it's a familiar foe in Pasco or South Mountain, they're both very, very good teams, very talented, have scored a lot of runs in the tournament. A big thing for us, we're thankful we'll get two of our best pitchers back. That'll be full go. So we're in a really good position, and we just got to take care of it.
Well, one of the things that people have been talking about with this Jacksonville State bunch that's at the regional with Southern Miss is that Drew Harrison and Nico Williams from your squad are headed to Jacksonville next year. Are every one of your guys, Coach, pretty much of your starting 9, 10, or 11, are they all, committed somewhere at this point?
Yeah, actually, Cal Culpepper's going to Jacksonville State as well. And,
okay.
Every one of our sophomores has 4 years, 4 year offer. Most have all committed. I think we've got over, 12 going Division One, and a couple going, a couple end up at William Carey, and that's they've got a heck of a run going right now, and so they're going to a first class program with Coach Hallford in that group. And but we're thankful that every one of our sophomores will have a chance to play at the 4 year level, and very proud of these guys for what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, but two really good pitchers going to Jacksonville State. Wow. It would seem to me that talent cupboard up in Jacksonville is going to be full for a long time to come, and it looks like that this talent corridor between Poplarville and Jacksonville is pretty healthy right now.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things that, when you go through the recruiting process with these guys, everybody has different needs and fits, and, me personally, I love to help the in-state guys as much as I can.
Sure.
Obviously, being from Mississippi, coaching in Mississippi, and how good baseball is in Mississippi. It's part of it. And these guys have, those guys have needs that they need to fill, and our guys have certain things they're looking for. And so I just want guys to go where they feel best and where they feel like it's the right fit for them and their families, and where they're going to have the chance to get a degree and also have a good playing career. So very, very thankful for all the opportunities.
Well, none of these schools are taking a risk on any Pearl River players. You know that they've been coached well, and that speaks well of you and your staff. And now you're having to wear the dual role as not only being the head baseball coach but athletic director as well. The Wildcats get tonight off, and then it's a winner-take-all tomorrow night against either South Mountain out of Phoenix, Arizona, or Pasco Hernando out of Newport Richey, Florida. And that'll be an evening game tomorrow night, Coach, in Enid?
That's correct. It'll actually be 95 degrees here tomorrow, so we're thankful to be playing at 7 o'clock. And, you know, it was been 80, 82 most of the week, and all of a sudden today it's jumped up to 90, and tomorrow it'll be 95. So Corey Clements and the group, you know, we'll welcome playing at 7 o'clock. It'll be our first night game up here this week.
And that's the catcher, of course, that we're talking about a little bit cooler. Well, personally, I hope it's Pasco Hernando and that you guys can return the favor that they gave to you last year. But either way, continued success, Coach Avalon. Bring it home.
Thank you, and appreciate you having me, and roll, River, roll.
There you go. Michael Avalon, the head baseball coach at Pearl River. My gosh, where has this time gone? Well, we've got a little bit more. In fact, we're going to be checking in at Pete Taylor Park in just a moment. Bob Getty will have the very latest from the regional game between the Golden Eagles and the Trojans of Arkansas Little Rock next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
And don't forget that you can find us on our podcast at Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Eagle Hour, and well, unless you've got my Siri, but most series will play that for you instead of telling you to get lost. Immediately, let's go out to Pete Taylor Park now, where our own Bob Getty brings us an update. Bob, the Trojans are scratching and clawing back. It's a 3-2 lead now. Bring us up to date as to what has happened and transpired since the last time we talked to you about 45 minutes ago.
Pitcher's duel for a couple innings. Joey Urban, as he's done so many times in his two-year career here, blasts a two-run homer in the bottom of the fifth to give the Eagles a 3-1 lead. But, you know, this Little Rock team's scrappy. They don't hit the ball real deep, but they do hit a lot of singles. They hit a lot of hard line drives. And once again, sort of a misplayed ball in left field. Not an easy play, but one Davis Gillespie would normally make. He doesn't make. And that run ends up scoring. So those are two runs that ended up scoring off of our inability to field some difficult fly balls to left field, but fly balls that normally he makes or normally he catches.
Now, Cam,
the Golden Eagles are batting in the bottom of the sixth right now, and Ben Higdon is up with one out. And seven runs for each team, no errors each side. And we've got a 3-2 score here in the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah, seven hits for each team.
Seven hits. Yeah.
Yeah. Cam Clark had kind of a sketchy start, Bob. You thought that he might settle in. How's he looking now?
Well, they took him out this
okay.
last inning.
Okay.
They brought in Colby Allen. Allen retired the last two batters. They did score one run on a fly ball. They sacrificed a run in. That's how they scored the guy that originally had gotten to second on the left field fly. But then Colby started doing Colby's thing and retired him. And so you look for Colby Allen, I would think, to probably pitch as long now as he can as the Eagles try to hold on to a 3-2 lead. But much like Troy, this Little Rock team, I don't think it's going to go away, Kelly. They're scrappy and good, and you can understand why they're in their second consecutive regional.
Well, right now, Bob, I know that there were some big questions about the weather, but if this forecast holds, it looks like you're even going to be okay tonight for the Jacks State Virginia games slated for 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, the weather here is pretty now. We've got a lot of sunshine here. It's hot, probably the hottest game of the year. But, yeah, it looks good. And I'll tell you, I think that's an exciting game tonight between two really good teams. And I think we'll have a lot of fun out here this weekend at the regionals.
Well, because this is Friday, obviously, we're not going to get to talk again until Monday, but hopefully we'll be talking about a trip to Gainesville next week, because between now and then, Mother Nature agreeing and cooperating, we will know whether the Eagles will be heading to Gainesville or whether they will be heading to the locker room for a cleanup and get ready for next year. But fingers crossed, Bob, and thanks for the updates there live from the Pete.
All right, Kelly.
All right, Bob Getty there from live from Pete Taylor Park. The Eagles leading now as they bat in the bottom of the sixth inning, 3-2. But Colby Allen, the old firefighter, the guy that's going to come in and put out any fires, is on the mound now for Southern Miss. Hopefully that's a good sign, and the Eagles can hang on and win that game and advance, which is something they've had difficulty doing, is winning that first game in regionals over the last couple of years. So let's hope that Southern Miss can win that game, and then they would face the winner, of course, of the Jacksonville State-Virginia game. That game is slated for tonight at 6 o'clock. All of our broadcasts this week, including the two-hour specials from Pete Taylor Park at the Warren & Warren Asphalt Contractor booth there at Pete Taylor Park, have just been fantastic, and businesses have stepped up to make it possible. Businesses like Bocoma Casino, First Bank, Corner Market Food Stores, and if you don't often go to that Midtown store, you really need to, because they've got everything from A to Z there, man. It is really sweet. There's nothing that you can't find there. Royal Homes on Highway 84 West in Laurel. See how homes have changed over 20 years, and whether it's single wide or double wide, they've got the very latest designs, sturdy homes for you. And again, thanks to Warren and Warren Asphalt Contractors and our regular sponsors throughout the week that make this show possible, including DBAT with their training for softball and baseball indoor training facilities, and Mobay Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street. Depending on what the weather might hold, or just for a weekend treat or to get out and enjoy some fantastic beignets, though, the official beignet store of Southern Miss, you can have hot or cold coffees there as well. We've got a lot to come this summer on our programs, including, you know, believe it or not, football is right around the corner. Media days have been slated now by the Sun Belt Conference for July 14th and 15th down in New Orleans. So we'll be bringing you, of course, there's a lot of time between now and then, but hopefully we'll be talking about a College World Series in Omaha, or at least a Super Regional. Everything that is Southern Miss sports-wise, we're going to have for you on this program, and we see the numbers of how many of you download the podcast, and we're so appreciative, and we're glad that we can bring those bring Southern Miss updates to you. So let's hope that the Eagles can win this region this weekend and advance to the next round, which would be the Sweet 16. And we will be getting you up to date with everything that's going on in the Southern Miss world coming up on Monday when we return. Dima Mixon will be back in the studio with Bob Getty and I, and we hope that you will be too. Until then, thanks for joining us, and as always, Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.